Hey, everybody, this is Stelly Efti.
And this is Heaton Shah. And today on the Startup Chat, we're going to talk about doing what scares you.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life. And hopefully, while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
We want you to do your best.
The reason I want to talk about this is because recently my FYI co-founder, Marie, decided to go on a camping trip alone, but not quite alone because she was with her dog, which is probably even more scary in some ways. And in a bunch of private chats, she was talking about bears and being scared of bears. And we're in California and apparently there's bears. And then on Twitter, she was talking about how she was doing it. And what was really cool is a lot of other people chimed in about going on, you know, solo camping trips and dealing with the fears and things like that, making a fire and all that good stuff. So yeah, just wanted to talk about doing what scares you because it can extend to anything, personal life or work or whatever. Really just, I think something that we tend to sort of as humans, like we grow by doing things that we're not comfortable with, doing things that might scare us. And at the same time, we also kind of don't do them. So we lose out on growth and on opportunities like that. And personally, I think there are things that I'm thinking through right now myself that like probably scare me a little bit. But yet I know that they're going to help me grow. And I know that I want them and I want that experience. So yeah, just wanted to chat with you about this because I think it's like a very common thing and something that a lot of people can get a bunch of value from.
I love it. So I think that I've said this many, many times that, you know, I do think that fear is the compass. Like fear points usually to a direction. There's something valuable at the end of fear. Like there's something, you know, either it's outside your comfort or it's always outside your comfort if it's associated with fear, I guess. But doing something that you're afraid of usually will lead to something valuable, a valuable experience, a valuable skill acquired, a valuable thing that you accomplished. But because there's fear in between you and that thing or that experience, it's what's holding most of us back, right? I recently wondered if that's always good advice, right? First, maybe, and this is funky, I don't know if this is going to lead to any place worthwhile going or exploring, but are there exceptions to this? When is it right to let your fear hold you back or to let what scares you define what you do or you don't do? Are there situations where fear is, I mean, of course, life and death, right? Don't maybe, you know, jump into the lion's den, you know, whatever, the zoo, maybe don't go near or into areas of wild animals. Like there's survival situations where fear is probably a good instinct to follow or to listen to. But in more day-to-day life, in more life decisions than our life and death, is there ever a place where we need to listen to our fear or where what scares us is something we should not move towards to?
Yeah. I mean, I think if something scares you and there's some level of life, like life and death associated with it, you know, around whether you do it, you might die, right? Like, and die without, you know, appropriate measures. So it's like really risky. So I think one of the things that comes into play when it comes to doing what scares you has a lot to do with risk. And how risky is it? Is it a life or death situation? Things like that. Those are like one kind of aspect. I think another one is when it comes to scares you, like if I were to be very prescriptive, I would love to see more people do an exercise of actually listing out the things that scare them.
Mm.
Whether it's like something they're about to do or something that in general would scare them. Like, you know, my co-founder Marie, she'd probably list out going camping alone would scare her. She also has probably a lot of things that might scare her besides that as well, not to blow up her spot. But like, yeah. And in my case, I think a lot of things that scare me, like going camping alone to me is not even scary because I just wouldn't do it. Mm-hmm. It's like not a desire, you know?
Yeah.
So there's this whole idea of like, do you desire it? Right? Does it scare you? What parts of it scare you? Because if you don't desire it and it's something scary for you, you're not going to do it. It doesn't matter, right? There's a lot of things that I don't desire, so I don't even think about them. Well, in her case, she desires that. She's gone camping with other people before, right? She went camping when she was a kid. right? So this is like a big, like, it was probably, I think, actually a big milestone. I've seen her after that, and I think it was a big milestone. There's possibly even something that's changed in her as a result of this experience, frankly speaking. And so a part of me is like, when you think through like things that scare you, things that you desire that scare you, or things you gravitate towards, but they still scare you, it's almost like you want to feed the fear in a positive way. And yeah, I'm sure there are things that scare you that you shouldn't do. Like, go hang out with a snake, right? A poisonous snake. Like maybe you shouldn't do that. So yeah, I find it a fascinating topic because the things that scare people are very different. Like there's things in business that scare me and I should definitely do them. And there are things that, you know, in business that probably scare other people that would never scare me, whether it's because I've done them before or I am just comfortable like with just general most business stuff. I think another way to think about it that I know some people would kind of throw back and be like, oh, nothing scares me. I would say that then you probably might not be able to really grok and understand the definition of the word. Because, you know, as a founder or as somebody who's sort of like done a lot of things in their lives or is trying something new, like starting a company or something like that, you might already have this idea in your head where like founders have no fear.
Yeah.
And I don't know how true that is. I don't believe that.
That's total bullshit.
There you go.
That is absolute and total bullshit. I think in general, a lot of the things that we say about founders is bullshit, and a lot of like self-beliefs. Anything that really makes that distincts a group and makes it better in some way from other groups, in most cases, is probably has a lot of BS in there. I think that founders are, you know, just as scared as other people. They're just scared about different things, right? You could appear to be incredibly brave because you do all these crazy things, but what really drives you is fear. And the fear of being insignificant, maybe. The panic and fear of, you know, not being admired and loved might push you to do these crazy stunts that are physically very dangerous because you're not afraid to die or not afraid to get injured, but you're really afraid to be alone or be insignificant or whatever. Like, you don't know what drives people. And a lot of founders are driven by fear. They're not just driven by whatever, their vision to change the world and by their bravado and... yeah, that's a cool story, but I, you know, I've met a ton of founders. I've been a founder almost my entire life, adult life, very similar to your story. We've been exposed to a lot of founders, and I wouldn't be able to say that I've observed less fear in the founder or entrepreneur community than in other communities. Now, let me ask you: you said that maybe something that would be useful to people listening to us is to share a. You know, you shared your co-founder doing something, it's kind of outside the business world that was out of the startup world that was something she was scared of, which is dope. Like going camping alone was something she was afraid of. And I think I can totally relate to her feeling empowered by overcoming that fear and going, hey, I'm strong. I did it. I overcame my fear. I survived. I can be in slightly more dangerous situations that I'm used to and I can do well and it's fine. Those are always awesome moments, but I'm wondering, maybe we should also share like more recent moments where we were afraid or we're scared of something or wanted to do something we were scared of that relates to the startup world in one way or another. And I'll go first. You can ponder what example you want to share and you can go second, but I always feel like when people like us that some people might admire and look up to, when we go deep and share something that's current, it makes it much more come alive than when we just talk about the topic.
Yeah, go for it.
So now I'm thinking like, what the fuck am I gonna say?
I know.
this is part of why this podcast is so popular and a lot of people get a lot from it, is that it's not scripted. We don't really spend a lot of time thinking through what we're gonna say. I did a bunch of podcast recordings in the last 3 weeks because I want to promote the new book that we brought out at Close and all that. And it's every time, most times when I do a podcast recording, I'm like, wow, all these people do this completely differently from how he
That's right.
doing it.
That's right.
We don't do second takes. We don't have a script. So what's something that I recently did in business that scared me? Man, I think that, so the biggest thing that I can think of is actually there's two things. One, we did a very big pricing project I closed at the beginning of the year. I think I've talked about this on the podcast before, for sure, that was against kind of one of the beliefs that I had for a very long time, and I was scared to change things. Like, I always loved simple pricing models, and I always loved that we offered people like three simple pricing tiers, and you could have all you wanted in one of them. It's kind of like, especially the telephony piece that we do, that we allow people to make calls, receive calls, send text mm-hmm. messages and all that. I always hated the idea of having a usage-based pricing, right? I always wanted to give people a package because that to me was simple. That's how I want to buy things. So I always resisted that. And then eventually I convinced myself that that was wrong and that we needed to switch our pricing model. And when we started working on that pricing project and like changing completely how our pricing infrastructure works, I had a couple of moments where I looked at the math and I said, if this doesn't work out, it might really get us in big trouble. And it was interesting to see how I got scared a few times, just like that emotion came up. I was surprised about it myself. And I was like, wow, I haven't felt this in a while, but last times I placed really big bets, I placed bets where the team was much smaller, the business was much smaller, and it seemed like if those bets didn't work out, nothing really bad would happen. But now it's a much bigger team. There's a lot of people here that pay their mortgages, have children, have their families. Like, I'm responsible for a lot of people. And this business is quite big. And so making this big of a bet, making this radical of a change for us, and having like the worst case scenario would be one where we lose a ton of revenue. That was quite scary. And it was both, I was both surprised by that. I had these moments literally hitting where I would go, shit, I haven't felt this in years. This is a weird feeling. What do I do with this?
And that's pretty awesome.
You know, it's like, oh, I haven't felt scared. This is so weird. And then I had moments where I went back to this, I think, deep belief that you and I share, that's like, well, if I'm scared, at least like we're doing some real shit here, right? we're changing something. We're really... And does my rationale make sense? Why are we making this decision? I would go through the rationale again to make sure that we thought this out carefully through, and I still believe it's the right decision. And then it was just about like embracing that fear and thinking about it, like reframing it as excitement and going, you know what? Maybe I'm just going to think about this feeling as excitement. Maybe I'm just excited about this. Maybe something real is happening. So that's one example.
I like that.
I thought another quick example in there, because it feels closer, the kind of more intimate. This is, I don't even know if it fits in terms of doing what scares you. Well, in some ways it does. But I think what I recognized this year is that for the past 20 years of hiring people and employing people, I've learned to deal with conflict, and I've always been very frank with people. But the underlying kind of working principle that I have when it comes to people is that I am a seeker of harmony. Right? This is hard to believe for some people that know me, but I do like harmony, and I want people to be happy, and I want things to be aligned, right? And everybody to be like in a good place. I'm not necessarily somebody that enjoys conflict, right? And attacks conflict with like a passion of an excitement. Like I try to avoid conflict, or I try to eliminate conflict whenever I can. That's kind of my operating principle. And I remember a couple of months ago, 2-3 months ago, there was a situation with somebody on our team where I had to have a conversation with this person about something that was quite a difficult topic to discuss. And where there were very high chances that it wouldn't go down well, like it would create kind of a bad situation between the two of us. And I remember that back in the day, I would have gone pregnant with that task for a while. I would have like thought about it a lot. I would have constantly try to optimize for that conversation on like, how can I have this conversation to make sure it doesn't lead to conflict? How can I break this news and talk about this topic with this person in a way that's going to make this feel as good as it can, right? That was kind of the thing that guided my game plan in the past. And this time around, for the first time, I kind of left that behind me. And I was like, well, this is not a good way of thinking. Like, of course, I don't want to upset anybody. I don't want to have an argument, but that can't be my number one goal. Like, my number one goal is X. So I need to optimize this conversation to accomplish X. And I'm going to do it in a humane, fair, and transparent way. But if the person gets upset, that's beyond my control and it's going to pass. Like, I shouldn't like overly optimize for that. And that was the first time that I went into a conversation where I didn't care how the person would react. I was like, I know this is the right thing to do. I know that I'm going to focus on the right way. And if this person gets upset, they get upset. We'll deal with it then, right? I'm not going to spend all my energy and time on trying to cock up some way and some strategy that makes me feel safe because I think I can get into this conversation and have a high chance of talking about this in a way that will feel good to this person. And I don't know, like that was a big shift for me and it changed the way I feel about the people I work with from I still deeply care about them. I want all of them to be, you know, happy and fulfilled, but I'm not as scared as I used to be to confront people or to have very difficult conversations earlier and with a different focus than in the past where I think I oftentimes over-optimized for harmony than anything else. So that was kind of it was a conversation where I didn't have that fear anymore that I used to always have in those situations.
Yeah, I can relate. I think one that I'll share that's quite similar and a little bit different is like I always had the fear of somebody not liking me. Mm. And in some, you know, in business, I think it can be really a harmful thing when you have that fear and you have to make good business decisions. I mean, great business decisions. Because if you're fearful of somebody not liking you, then you might not do the right thing. You actually probably won't do the right thing. I'd even go further and say that.
Yeah.
And all I'm trying to do is I'm trying to do the right thing. And it's really tough to do if I have this fear that they're not going to like me. Because it'll stop me from figuring out, it stops me from figuring out what is the right thing to do and how can I do that right thing. In this moment, regardless, and the right thing for the business, the right thing for the people on the team, not necessarily driven by what I think is the right thing that's going to keep my psyche happy, where it's like this person likes me or doesn't like me. And the funny thing about this is I've just been aware now of this, and that's all I really needed to do. Once I became aware of this, everything I did got converted over to being more so about doing the right thing versus doing the thing that prevents people from not liking me. Because that's also a very subjective thing. And more importantly, I don't control whether someone likes me or not. Mm-hmm. It's not, realistically, it's not even my problem. Like, I know that sounds weird, but whether someone likes me or not, I can just do the best I can. I should not be trying to optimize my life around somebody else liking me. And so I used to have, and probably there's still parts of this that exist for me, but I have this fear of that. It's basically this fear that, oh, they're not going to like me, or this fear that I'm going to say something or do something that's good, like that I need to do, but in that process, they're not going to like me, or they're not going to like what I have to say. So I stopped worrying about that. And it's really been transformative for me. And this is like almost like a daily fear of mine that, you know, I've had to work on, very similar to what you were saying. Where I kind of want to be liked. And I even overthink it. I overthink the message. I overthink saying something. I overthink how I'm going to say it with honestly the wrong attitude. And I think the wrong attitude is overthinking it with the idea that whatever I say, they should like me. It's actually more important that whatever I say, it should be true to what I want to communicate and what I need to be saying in that moment in order to achieve whatever goal or outcome I'm looking to achieve. That's now more important to me than saying things that someone else is going to feel okay about. Because I can't even predict that in a lot of cases too. Mm-hmm. I can't predict whether I'm going to say something and someone else is going to, you know, be okay or not okay with it. And this doesn't mean like I'm not compassionate or I don't try to be compassionate. I think all those things are important, but I should not be driven by this fear that someone else is not going to like what I have to say or what I'm doing.
Fucking love it. All right. This is it from us. Do what scares you.
There you go.
And what is scaring you? That might be a good question to end the episode with. If you feel like sharing, send us an email, steli@close.com, hnshah@gmail.com. Let us know what scares you and what you're going to do about it. And we'll hear you very, very soon.
Later.